We have such a treat this morning. I just met Mr. Dean Braxton a few minutes ago, and I'm so thrilled, so excited to have him with us this morning. And I'm not going to try and do his story justice, but the 700 Club actually put together an intro video. And so if you just turn your attention to the screens quickly, and then we will welcome up Mr. Braxton in one moment. Here we go, to the screens.
Dean Braxton checked into the hospital to have a kidney stone removed. But Dean wound up in a place that can only be described as out of this world. He wanted to stay there. Instead, he came back to tell you and me what heaven is really like.
I couldn't catch my breath. It was getting shallower and shallower, and I can remember saying to myself, I am dying.
And then his blood pressure dropped.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, what's wrong with him?
His heart stopped.
And he says, well, we need to intubate your husband right now or else he could die.
And then we start doing the chest compressions.
Dean Braxton's system was shutting down. It started as a routine procedure to remove a kidney stone. Now he was dying. Dr. Manuel Irigui was on duty in the critical care unit at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way, Washington. He explains what went wrong.
As it turns out with him, the antibiotic that he received was not good for the bacteria. It was resistant.
Dean's body went into multi-organ failure, and his heart flatlined. Dr. Irigui's team worked furiously to revive him. Dean's wife, Marilyn, prayed.
I did say to the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word that you've come to give Dean life and life abundantly. And I claim that abundant life for him.
At times, the unit was in chaos as they worked to save Dean's life. But he was experiencing something very different.
I wasn't afraid. It was like, I'm going home.
Dean believes he went to heaven.
When I first entered in, it was just bright. It wasn't so much what I saw as much as what I experienced. The first thing I perceived was, everything is right. There's nothing wrong here. And I said, it's past peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that says, peace past understanding. That's what's going on there. It's landscape, but more, because everything's alive. Nothing's dead. I don't mean just live like grass. I mean, it's intelligent. It can move. You know, it thinks. And someone says, well, that's way out there. It was way out there for me. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Dean says he felt like he was being pulled back into his body. Then he flatlined a second time. Again, he was in heaven. This time, he saw Jesus.
The first thing that comes to me is he's bright, just like John says, he's brighter than the noonday sun. And the next phrase I say, I wish people could grab it, and it's this one. And we can look at him. And what you're looking at is not so much the physical part of it. You're really experiencing the love he has for you. And I tell people, it's like he only loves you and no one else. I saw him communicating to angels. He would just look at them. Communication there was thought to thought. They would acknowledge his receiving his information, bow before him like this, and then back out. And it was like, wow.
Dean admits he didn't want to come back.
And I'll tell you the truth. I was happy. I was planning on staying, you know. And people always say, yeah, you know, didn't you love your wife and your children? Yes, I loved them probably more than I ever could. But I was thinking, you come here. You come here where everything is right.
Then Dean saw family he hadn't seen in a long time.
And yet, on the other side of Jesus was my family, my grandmother Mary, but with her were other relatives. And some I had recognized. I had been on this planet when they were here. But then there was generation after generation after generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that helped to produce me on this planet. They came to greet me in, and it was like, God.
While Dean was in heaven, Marilyn continued asking God for a miracle.
I purposed in my heart that whatever the outcome, I was going to follow God all the way.
After an hour and 45 minutes, Dean came back with a weak but steady heart rate. But the bacteria had done a lot of damage, and he had to go on dialysis.
I did not think he was going to survive. I told his wife that, you know, now all we have just to pray and wait, because there is nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional, because he was really, really dead for a long time.
So what does a man do who's experienced heaven and still wants to be there? Dean says Jesus told him something that keeps his feet firmly planted.
I felt like he was saying, I need you there more than I need you here. And I came to understand then how important it was for me to complete what God had put me on this planet to do. The bottom line is, until I'm finished here, you know, and I cannot go back home. I tell people most of the time, I'm on my way home. Don't get me wrong, I'm on my way home. This is the pathway my Father says I have to go to get home.
Hey, would you guys stand with me and welcome Mr. Dean Braxton as he comes. I can do this back here, huh? Praise the Lord. Am I hooked up? You guys have? Oh, good. That's great. I can't see you. Yes. I've been in churches like this before, when you just talk out there and you hope someone's out there. I can see you on the front row, so we'll be talking right here, all right? So it's great to be here. It's always great to be in this area. At one time, me and my wife even really considered moving here. You know, we thought about it really, really seriously. I even sent her here for 3 weeks just to check it out. But we ended up moving to Virginia next to Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? That's where we felt like God was calling us to be, and we've been over there for 3 years. Used to live in Washington State. I always tell people I moved to the other Washington. I really moved to a different country. You guys just don't know that, you know. So, but it's great to be here, Pastor John. I've got to meet him this morning, and we hit. You know, when you're of the same Father, and you have the same Spirit inside of you, you kind of, you know, what do you say? Talk to each other like you always known each other. You know, you're around each other like, it isn't like, even if you meet for the first time, it's like, no, we've known each other forever. You know, that type of thing. And that's what it was like with Pastor John there. And also Pat, you know, I met him last year, and we hit it off, him and his brother and myself and some other people met together. And I really enjoyed him at that moment, him and his brother. I didn't know they were twins. I'm probably one few people that didn't look at him and say, hey, are you guys, bro, you look alike, you know, that type of thing, you know, but it was really interesting. Someone had to tell me later on, they're twins. I said, oh, they are? I didn't know that. But last year I was at his brother's church and got to speak there. It was during a time also for me, my father was passing away at the same time,
And so I grew up in the Central Valley here in California, a little town called Atwater. You ever hear of Atwater? You know? And so I grew up there, went to high school there, graduated Atwater High. And my parents lived in that area. My dad was passing away, going to be with the Father and Jesus. Okay, that's how I say it. You know, some people, they died. I said he left the planet and went to be with the Father and Jesus. Okay? So it was really a time for me to reflect on just my own experience of dying. You saw up there the doctor, Dr. Arrighi. Dr. Arrighi was the actual doctor that was in the room when my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. And you heard what he said. The man was what? Really, really dead. You know, and I get to tell you, I didn't know you could be really, really dead. I just thought you died and that was it. But I'm not a medical person, so maybe that's a medical term, you know, that I don't understand. Some of you are not going to understand that until you have the experience that you can be really, really dead, you know, that type of thing. But Dr. Arrighi, he wasn't the one that caused the issue. I had a kidney stone, caused a kidney infection. They gave me antibiotics to take care of the kidney infection, but they forgot to go back and check to make sure it was taken care of. So when they blasted the stone, they sent the poison into my body, and I became what you call sepsis. And I died. I went to be with the Father and Jesus. You know, I get to tell people that not because that happens to everybody. I get to tell people that because of those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. You know? And I know some people say, oh, you offended me just now because you said you have to know Jesus to be able to go to heaven. Well, I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. And when I left this body, I did exactly what Jesus said is supposed to happen to Christians. It is not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That's what happens to us when we leave our body. Now, coming back is a whole different issue. And I know some of you say, well, you're so lucky you got to go to heaven and come back and everything. Going was great. Coming back was not as great as you think. Number one, everything's right there. There's nothing wrong. It's past peace. And the thing about it, you that are born again, you fit. You want to know why you don't get along with wrongness? Because you were created for rightness. I'm just letting you know that right off the bat. So when you get there, you fit. It's not like when I got there, all of a sudden Jesus said, no, we got to quarantine you for a while. We're going to put you over on the side, get some of that earth stuff off of you before you mingle with the rest of us because we don't want to get infected. You know what I mean? You born again, whether you realize it or not, you already created for that place. Is that good news, you guys? No? And this place here, sometimes I have to tell people, whether you realize it or not, it got issues. And you know what the biggest issue is for me? Death. We were never created to be separated. That is because of something that Adam did, and now we have to experience. But that ain't how God wanted it to be. So, and in heaven, there is no death. There is no dying at all. Now, this morning, I want to start off. There's a whole bunch I can tell you. There was 29 different things wrong with this body. God healed all of them. I'm not on dialysis any longer. I can tell people from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, he healed everything. I should have brain damage. I should not be able to talk to you right now. You should not be able to understand me. Because when you lose oxygen to your brain, for 5 minutes or longer, you end up with brain damage. And according to the medical records, I was what you call clinically dead for an hour and 45 minutes. That means there was no oxygen or blood going through my body for an hour and 45 minutes. That's not me that's saying that. That's what they say. You know, you heard the doctor, like I said earlier, the one that was actually in the room. He said he was really, really dead for a long time. Long time to him is an hour and 45 minutes. Okay? But God healed all that. And I could talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I can talk about a whole bunch of other things, but I really feel like God wants me to emphasize certain things that I experienced when I left this body and went to be with the Father and Jesus. One of the things I do to help me do that is I use the Bible. Some of you might say, why you got to use the Bible? Because to me, the Bible was inspired by the Spirit. And if anybody knows how to explain spiritual things, it would be God Almighty. I could tell you some things. I could use my own words. But if I give you a scripture, you can go there and read it, and he can take you further. You guys hear what I just said? I'm just putting that out there. See, that's an eternal realm. This is a temporal realm. How do you explain an eternal realm and a temporal realm? You know, you can use the five senses. I try to tell you what I saw. I used the word L-I-K-E a whole lot, Pat. You know why I use that word? John used it when he wrote in Revelation. He said it was like this. He didn't say it that's the way it was. He said this is the closest I can come to describing it on the planet. Okay, you read it. It's in there. I can tell you literally what I heard. I can tell you what I experienced. But some things I'm going to come short on. But you that are born again, you're going to resonate with it because you had an experience with God also. Just being born again is a miracle in itself. But I can't tell you what it tastes like, and I can't tell you what it smelled like. Someone says, why? Because there's something on the planet that's not there. It's called death and decay. And whether you realize it or not, you're smelling it all the time. Nothing there is dying. Nothing there is decaying. You know? Most of the time, you really don't realize it until you go to a hospital, and most of you don't like going to a hospital because what are you smelling? Death and decay. Retirement home, what are you smelling? Death and decay. Outhouse. Death and decay. It's around us all the time. So it's hard for me to describe it that way. So I use the word of God. One of the scriptures I start off with is found in John, the 14th chapter, the first through the sixth verse. It says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I always start out with that scripture because I'm always saying this. I can tell you about the place, but if you don't know how to get there, what good is that? There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And all Jesus is doing here is saying, you want to get to my daddy's house? This is how you do it. He's giving you directions how to get there. They're really simple directions. They're not complicated. Everybody in the room understands it. Now, you can reject the directions or you can accept them. But he's gave them to you. You guys hear what I just said? Because I took the directions and did what he said. When I left my body, I went where he said we're supposed to go. You know why I went to heaven? Because he said that's what happens to us. Nothing in the Bible says you have to believe in heaven to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. But nothing in the Bible says you have to believe in heaven to be saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, you that are born again, you're going whether you want to or not. Because he said it. I left my body and went to be where he is because he said that's what happened. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No way, there's no other way to get there. And some of you in the room says, that's your belief system. I say, you'll find out. Because everybody on the planet sooner or later is going to leave their body. Everybody. I'm going to leave again. Don't think I voted to come back. I always tell people, don't pat me on the back. This was not a volunteer assignment. If he would have asked for volunteers, I would have met you there. You guys get this? Everything's right. There's nothing wrong. It's past peace. There's nothing to be peaceful from. There's all kinds of places on this place you want to be peaceful from. You know? But the reality of it is this, you guys. He is the only way. And my Bible even says something else that everybody in this room's got to grab. It's going to come out of your mouth sooner or later. My Bible says this, John. Yours probably say the same thing. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's better you say it here because there it is too late. I get to tell you what it's like to die as a Christian. I can't tell you what it's like to die as a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And mainly I'm saying it for you that are in the room that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You that don't, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know so that you experience what I experienced. When I left my body, I went to be with the Father and Jesus. I'm going to tell you something that most of us don't realize in this room. It isn't that the body dies and the spirit leaves. It's the spirit leaves and the body dies. Bible even says it. Says it in James, the second chapter, the 26th verse. It says, faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. That means your spirit has to leave first, and then your body dies. I have people sometimes come up to me and say, but I saw them breathe their last. What you saw was the body struggling without the spirit. Spirit was gone, you guys. Some of you in the room said, but they died a terrible accident. They left before it happened. My Bible says that. In Hebrews, the second chapter, the 9th verse, it says he died your death. Literally, he paid the price that you would have paid in that physical pain on the cross so that you don't have to pay it. It's in the Bible. You can read it in there. You know, the 15th verse of that same chapter says he did it so that you would not fear death. It's in the Word. I didn't know this was happening. This was not my doctrine before this happened. Don't think I read it and then all of a sudden I experienced it. No, I experienced it and then I read it. No one ever taught me that. You know, I thought I was going to die. And I didn't know I was not going to experience all that stuff. That's because Jesus Christ died my death on the cross already. Is that good news, you guys? That's good news right there. I left my body. I went to meet the Father and Jesus. How long did it take for me to get there? The only thing I have to even come measuring up to how fast it was is what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. If I say faster than the speed of sound, what you're hearing right now, that's too slow. If I say faster than the light that's shining from the ceilings where I can't see you, be honest with you, that's too slow. So I have to use what the Word of God says, to be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. But I'm not telling you that so you know how fast you get there. I know some of you want to get off this planet pretty quick. You know, it's got issues. Lots of issues. You know, there ain't no, you know, one of the things that my wife said that she thought I had brain damage when I came back. And the reason she said that is because she would put the trash by the door and I wouldn't take it out. She said I walked by it like it wasn't there. I told her in heaven there is no trash. I got out of the habit real quick. You know? But I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that literally I left this body and I went to be with the Father and Jesus faster than you can blink. I was there. Is that good news? But I'm not telling you that so you know how fast you get there. Something happened on that way there that I think is very important, and the Father wants me to bring out for this church this morning. I remember leaving the hospital. I remember leaving the atmosphere. I remember going through outer space. I remember seeing this light that looked like a window. I knew it was heaven. It wasn't that it was a window. That's the closest I can come to describing it. And I was headed for that light. But all of a sudden, something else was passing me by. These other lights, they looked like shooting stars. Were they shooting stars? No. You know what they were? They were the prayers that people were praying for me and others. The prayers that people were sending up was getting there faster than I was. And how fast was I moving? To be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. Most of us don't want to understand this. Your Father wants to hear from you. There's a scripture I like to bring out in 1 Peter 3:12 that says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. He wants to hear from you. Whether you realize it or not, you were created to talk to him. If we go back into Genesis, the second chapter, when Adam was being created before Eve, he was given a mouth and a voice. And it wasn't to talk to animals. It was talk to him. Your mouth was first created to talk to him. Your voice was made for him to hear. A lot of times I challenge people and I say, when you get up in the morning and you look in that mirror, have you used that mouth for what it was created for first? You know? He wants to hear from you so much. There's other things I can talk about prayer, but there's one thing I like to bring out more than anything else, and that's this. Your prayers don't have a shelf life. There is no expiration date on your prayers. When I was in New Zealand, they call it a use-by date. You know? Most of us don't realize that. Someone says, well, where's that in the scripture? You ever heard the story of Cornelius? When the angel came to him in the 10th chapter of Acts, he said these words to him, your prayers and your good deeds are a memorial before God. Some of you need to build a bigger memorial. You know? Some of you, I'll be honest with you. Some of you were in this room because someone generations ago built a big enough memorial before God praying for you before you even existed on the planet. You think it's some lucky thing or accident that you're here? No, you're here because someone else prayed for you generations ago. Grandmas do that. They just don't know how to pray for one generation. They pray for generations. You know? Here I am. I come into heaven. I get to tell you this. Everything in heaven was glad that I was there. Everything. It wasn't just the Father. It wasn't just Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. You guys, you might as well get used to it. You that are born again, you got God Almighty with you always. He's not, when I got to heaven, he didn't jump out and say, I got to go get somebody else. I hear people sometimes say, I don't feel close to God. They born again. I don't feel good. It's not a feeling. It's what he said. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't feel close to him. How much closer can he get? He on the inside of you. We got to go by what he said, not by what we feel. Somebody in this room needed to hear that this morning. You think you're far from God, and you're not. He's residing on the inside of you still. You know? So here I am. I enter in, and everything in heaven is glad I'm there. This is where I brought in the boxes for you. You got to remember, when I got there, there were things outside of my box. Pat, I went to Welland Baptist University. I got a master's in pastoral counseling. I have a theological background. But when I got to heaven, he blew a ton of my boxes apart. But he didn't go outside his word. He went outside my boxes, but he didn't go outside his word. And here I am, I enter into heaven, and there are animals in heaven, and they're glad I'm there. And they're intelligent, and they can talk. Some of you say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, in Revelation, the 5th chapter, it tells you all these creatures come around the throne of God, and some of those animals, and guess what they do? They praise him. They sing unto him. The 8th chapter of Revelation tells you there's a bird flying around, and it's not a parakeet. It's an eagle, and it's proclaiming things. It's in your word. It's in your Bible already. So there were animals in heaven when I got there. They were so excited I was there. They were glad I was there. Let's go a little bit farther. The atmosphere in heaven's alive. I have some people say, well, what do you breathe? You don't take this body with you. It stays here on the planet. You have your soul and your spirit that go. You get a new body, you guys. Some of you are trying to get a new one right now. But you get what we call a glorified body when you get there. Okay? Just to let you know that. So, and someone said, well, how do you live? You live off of Jesus. That's what you live off of. But the atmosphere is alive. Where's that found? In Revelation, the 10th chapter, it says to you the 7 thunders spoke. It doesn't say they sounded like thunder. It says the 7 thunders spoke. And then John, the one that was writing the book, tried to write down what the 7 thunders said, and he was told not to. That's the atmosphere alive, you guys. The other thing that I want to let you know that was glad I was there, if this table was in heaven, it would have been glad I was there. It's alive. I know some of you say, oh, he's been watching Beauty and the Beast. I know he watched that show. I know he saw it. You know what I mean? Well, let me tell you where it is in the Word of God. The 9th chapter tells you there's horns on this table and they talk of Revelations. The 16th chapter, 7th verse tells you there's a table in heaven called the altar. And guess what it says? It says something. The 19th chapter tells you the throne says something. It says a voice come from the throne, and it wasn't God talking. It was the throne giving praise to God. Read your Bible. It's in there. So when I said that when I got to heaven, everything was glad I was there, now you get the picture. Everything was glad I was there. I get to tell you this. It was like Jesus Christ went before me and told all of heaven I was coming, and he didn't do it the day I was leaving my body. He did it the day I accepted him as Lord and Savior. You that are in this room right now, that are born again, you've been announced. You've been announced. All of heaven is looking forward to you being there. Is this good news, you guys? You know? I'll be honest with you. This is where people want me to talk more about the flowers, the mountains, all the stuff there. And I'll tell you this. I talk about Jesus. You know why? Because none of the flowers died for me to be there. None of the mountains laid themselves out or were beaten for me to be there. None of the streams of water or anything there except Jesus. And to be honest with you, I didn't really want to go to heaven. I wanted to be where Jesus is. Whether you realize it or not, what's drawing you is not a place, it's a person. You know? I can remember when I saw Jesus, what did I do? I did exactly what the Bible says you're going to do. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I went on my hands and knees before him. And you know what I said to him? This is what I said to him. And it wasn't to his face. I was looking at his feet because I was bowed. I looked at his feet and I said, you did this for me? You know what I meant by it, Pat? I'm going to tell you what I meant by it. It still hits me. This happened in 2006, and I'm still emotional over this moment. You know why? Because when you get there and you have that encounter, see if you don't get emotional. You know? But I said these words to him, you did this for me, and you know what I meant by it? The only reason I was there, the only reason I was there, the only reason I was there is because of what he had done. My good works didn't get me in. The Bible tells us our works don't get us in. When we try to work our way in, no, he gets you in. When I got there, he looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. Is this good news? And anyway, any good work I do, even me talking to you this morning, is him working through me. Who gets the credit? When they were up here giving him praise and telling him how great he was, the Holy Spirit on the inside of him was working with their spirit to tell him how great he is. A lot of us want to take the credit for what God does through us. How many times have you woke up in the morning and you didn't want to do it? And you went and did it anyway, and it was such a great thing, and everybody gave you credit, and you know you didn't want to do it. The Bible said we're to do everything as unto the Lord. What about your bad works? Someone needs to hear this morning. First of all, you need to understand something. When he looked at me like I'd never sinned in my entire existence. Someone said, I thought he's going to open up a book and he's going to judge you. I'm going to tell you something. There's that piece in the Bible that talks about that. But there's another piece in the Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 10th chapter that says, when Jesus Christ forgave you, he forgot it. So if he has a book up in heaven, but he says he forgot it, something's wrong here. Some people will say, well, that's contradiction. I say, no, it isn't. It means you don't understand something. Did you hear what I just said? So I'm going to help you understand this whole thing about the book. See, if there's a book with your name in it, when he opens up that page and he looks at where your name should be, there's another name. You know what it is? Jesus. When he said he took it, he took it. Some of you in this room right now, you've asked him to forgive you. He has forgiven you and forgot it. I know you got people around you that keep on reminding you of how bad you were. But they're not getting it from Jesus. He don't have it. There is another one called the accuser of the brethren. You're working with the wrong spirit that you that keep on reminding people. Oh, he ain't forgave them. Who made you God? Well, their heart ain't right. I know their heart ain't right. How do you know? You guys getting this? Because when he looked at me like I never sinned in my entire existence. I looked at his feet, and his feet loved me. His feet loved me. The fullness of the love that God has for me was coming through the feet of Jesus. I came to understand something. It isn't a blanket love. It's individually tailored made. And everyone that's been created on this planet, God Almighty went out and created love for them that no one else could receive but them. Amen. We sometimes want God's love to fill the room. I just want him to show you his love that he created for you. It will fill the room. Sometimes some of you are in this room and you feel the presence of God and you look around and you say, why aren't they feeling it? Because you're receiving your love. Somebody better grab what I just said here. You know? It's your love. And when I was looking at his feet, I literally was experiencing the love of Jesus, the love of the Father coming through those feet. And the best way for me to describe it is his feet loved me. Have you ever had anybody's feet love you? I've been tempted sometimes to tell some people, take off your shoes and put your feet in someone's face. See if they feel the love. I was in New Zealand, and the guy that was with me, one of the Maori people that we were traveling with, he would take off his shoe every once in a while, and he said, Ding, do you see the love? Do you see the love? You know. But his feet loved me. I looked at his thighs loved me. I looked at his hands loved me. You know, I get the privilege of going so many different places to tell this. When you have a story of someone that really died and they can prove it through the paper, through the doctors, you get to go everywhere. Everywhere. You'd be surprised how many places I get asked to go to and talk about this. Last year, I went to the Amish, you know, the ones with the carriage and the buggies and everything. They wanted me to come and tell them what it was like to die and go to be with the Father and Jesus. I've been to Catholics all over the place. You know, I've been probably to almost every denomination you can imagine, telling them this. And then I've been to the Capitol and talked to people in our state government about what it's like to die. I always tell them, I can only tell you what it's like to die as a Christian. So the door's open for me to go all over the place and share this. You know? Usually when I go to the Catholics, and this is not to offend anybody, when we get to that handpiece, they always want me to tell them where the nail prints are. Because the Catholics say it's in the hand. Protestants say it's in the wrist. And they want to know. But I always have to tell people, ain't no one up there trying to prove it's him. Can you see yourself going to heaven and saying, well, I got to see the nail prints to make sure I'm in the right place? You know why you know it's him? Because no one can love you like he does. I like to read right now a scripture. And it's found in Romans, the 8th chapter. Because this is important this morning for somebody in this room. You know, I would say everybody. But somebody in this room needs to hear this. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any power, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God that is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, might as well get used to it. He's going to love you. Period. Some of you in this room need to accept that this morning. You might say, well, I'm unlovable. That's okay. He didn't come here to say you were lovable and I want to love you. He came here because he loves you, period. You know, some of us in this room do things that people, you know, it's not a work thing with God. Never has been. For God so loved the world. Let's stop there. I'm going to go a little bit farther, John. I hope this doesn't cause you any trouble in doctrine stuff here, okay? But I'm going to go a little bit farther. Here I am in heaven, and I got to look at the Father. And the thing that amazed me, everybody always says, what was the most amazing thing? I said, the love I saw from the Father. I knew Jesus would love us, not in the scope that I experienced it, but I knew it. But to see the Father's love, you know, you're singing this morning about the breath. Every time you take breath in, it's him saying, I love you. Because the only reason the air is here is for you. But I came to understand something. If Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane would have chose another way to go and would not have gone the way that God wanted him to go, because you read your Bible, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Ain't that what he said? And if Jesus Christ literally would have chose another way, my Father would have found another way to redeem me. I'm not changing the doctrine. I am thankful for what Jesus Christ did. He is Lord. He is God. I bow before him. But I'm telling you, that went past Jesus. That's how much he loves you. There's a lot more I could say, but I need to end it here. Some of you needed to hear that. John, I'd ask you to come up here and stand by me, please. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to turn up the light so I can see people out there. But please, bow your heads and close your eyes. Me and John is going to be standing up here. This is important. Very important. You that are praying, start praying. You know what I'm talking about. If you're out in this audience and something that was said this morning has really touched you in such a way that you know you need to move in that direction to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or be born again, or come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the life, and you want to do it this morning, raise your hand right now. Don't hesitate. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Anybody. Anybody in this room. Let's say you made the decision for Jesus before. but you're not walking the way he wants you to walk. You're doing it your way and not his. But you know you need to start doing it his way and not yours. If you're in this room, we want to pray for you. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. We see the hands. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. The reason I say it like that is because if you do it quickly, then you don't fight with yourself. You know you need to do this. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Everybody else, keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, please. This is very important. Keep your hands up. Anybody else? Anybody else? The reason I said anybody else, because you're that one. You might as well go ahead and raise your hand. You know you need to move in that direction. Yes, you failed before. Yes, you haven't walked the way you think you should. But this time, we are going to pray, and God's going to help you even move farther than you did the last time. Ain't that right, John? So raise your hand. Raise your hand. You can put your hands down. The other thing that I'm going to ask that we're going to pray about is two other areas that I think is very important. It's important to human beings as a whole, but it's important to you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior very, very much. And it's this one, forgiveness. Forgiving somebody that's done harm to you. That's hard to do sometimes because we think if we forgive them, we're letting them off. And you're not. You're really releasing yourself from all the stuff that it causes you. I can't do it for you. John can't do it for you. But we can pray for you that you move in that direction to forgive somebody. If you're in this room and that's you right now, doesn't mean you want to. Doesn't mean you would like to, but you know you need to. Raise your hand. We will pray for you this morning. We see the hands. You can put your hands down. In the last area, is some of you said you've forgiven somebody, but you don't want nobody to talk about their names around you. Some kind of physical reaction happens to you when someone even brings it up. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know God can deliver you from that, where it doesn't bother you. Doesn't mean you're going to let them get away with anything. Doesn't mean you're letting them off. It means no longer is it impacting you in such a way that it's harming you. God can heal that. We can pray about that. If that's you out there, raise your hand. We see the hands. We see the hands. You can put your hands down. I'm getting ready to give it over to Pastor John here. But before I do that, he said to my left, your right, there will be a place for people to get prayer from. And I would encourage anyone that has any type of physical ailment to go through those doors and get prayed for this morning. I really believe you go through the doors and God's going to start working on you. And you're going to come out a changed person when you go back through the door. He's going to do something. You're not going to be the same. So this morning I would encourage you not to go out the door just to go outside and that's the end of it, but go through the door so that you can go in there, get prayed for, and come out a different person. Not the same person. I want to thank you. I'm giving to give it over to John. He's going to take it from here. You got it, John? Thank you.